Turn in the Word of God, please, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, we're going to read the first 14 verses. And when you read down this chapter, you can nearly write Ulster across it. Genesis chapter 6, the first 14 verses, please. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked down upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Amen. And we know God will add a blessing to this reading from his holy and his precious word. Just bow, please, in a wee word of prayer. Father, we thank you the privilege tonight of preaching the gospel. Thank you, Father, the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. We're not preaching a false gospel tonight. We're preaching about Jesus, the mighty to save, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, that one who bore our sins in his own body in the tree and shed his very life's blood, that we may be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Well, thank you, Lord, salvation is of the Lord. And Father, if there's one in our meeting tonight and they're not saved, oh God, oh Holy Spirit, deal with them and lead them to Jesus, the mighty to save. If it's a backslider, in restore them, encourage your people. Lord, I just pray best of all that you would have all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Lord, you know my heart tonight. I'm a nobody and a nothing. Take this nobody, take this nothing up tonight and use them for your great honor and for your great glory, Lord. You must increase, I must decrease. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power tonight. Give us an old-fashioned meeting with old-fashioned power, with a power and the fire of the Holy Ghost would fall. Oh Lord, breathe upon us tonight the breath of fire in the Savior's worthy and all precious name. When we look, you know, at this land of ours, I no need to tell you, it's a wicked age. Men and women tell us today, you know, in these days of sin, in these days of wickedness, it's so hard to walk with the Lord and the light of His Word. And yet when we go back to the days of Noah, Noah was in a day far worse than we're in today. You might think that hard to believe, but the days of Noah were a wicked age, a vile age. Men were living in sin and giving in city. Sodomy was rampant in every hand. And yet God's servant, we read in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, Noah was a man who walked with the Lord in the light of His Word. Here was a man when all sin and wickedness and evil was going on all around him. And he saw the wickedness and he heard the foul language. He heard men and boasting of the most lewd sins. But what it did do, it drove him and his family to have a closer walk with God. Look at verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. I want you to notice something. All flesh, every part of this world had turned to sin, to wickedness, to evil of the most vile kind. But yet at all, God had a man to stand in the evil day, to stand against sin, to stand against evil, to stand against the wickedness of the day. And every generation, God had a man to stand up against evil and untruth and unrighteousness. And Noah was no exception to the rule. And God told Noah, and verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them in the earth. God said to Noah, Noah, I am going to destroy all flesh with judgment. Noah, I want you to build an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. That pitch is a type of redemption and a safety for the people of God. And Noah start to build the ark, him and his sons, and his wives and their sons. And they built an ark on top of the mountain. Now you know yourself, if you're going to build a boat, if you could do it, you build it beside the seaside, beside somewhere where there was plenty of water. But you know something, God's ways are not our ways. God has always a plan in the days of sin. God has always a plan to deal with those that stand against Him and stand against His Word. And God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark, put rooms in the ark, pitch it within and without with pitch, because I am going to destroy the world with a flood. And Noah started to build an ark. It took him 120 years to build that ark. But you know, if you look at the New Testament scriptures, the Word of God says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Those 120 years of building that massive boat, every time he was building it, he preached to the people, they must get right with God. Their God has supplied an ark, a way of salvation. If you're inside the ark, you will be safe from God's judgment. Just like today, men laughed at the old preacher. What a fool. building an ark away up there on top of a mountain. You're mad, Noah. And you're going to bring animals into the ark two by two. You're a fool, Noah. And you could hear the laughs and the titters and the jeers and the elbow shaking. But Noah didn't worry. You know why Noah didn't bother him? Because he believed in God. God told him to do a thing. Noah did it and he built an ark. But there was a time when the ark, you know, was finished. And I could see Noah preaching to the people for the very last time. His family went into the ark. And I can imagine Noah with the tears rolling down his cheeks, pleading with them. Even though they laughed at him, he had many friends among them and he loved them. And he pleaded with them for the very last time. Just turn over to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. Look at it. And the Lord shut him in. It wasn't Noah that closed the door. It was God himself that shut the door of that ark. Can you see the people gathered around? Oh, what a fool. He's in there with his wife and family. The animals are in the ark. What a fool. You see, these people had never saw rain before. Because the ground was always watered by the dew from heaven. And I can imagine standing back with their arms folded, you know. You see, whenever Noah and his family come out of that ark, boy, we're going to require a laugh at him. And then he'll bring all the animals out. And there's something wrong with Noah. But then, for the first time ever, the dark clouds rolled overhead. They'd never saw that before. And then the rain started to fall. And it started to fall to their ankles and to their knees. And they realized too late, Noah, the old preacher, was right. God has sent his judgment. We are all going to be lost. Can you see mums and dads holding their children up, Lord? Or Noah, take my son, take my daughter into the ark. Oh, save them, Noah. But it was too late. They wouldn't heed the preacher of the gospel. They laughed at the gospel. They mocked at the gospel. And they laughed to their cost. If you have got a computer or a laptop or something like this, there's a man or men in America, and they have built a replica of the ark. They went by the measures. I know it's by cubics here, and then they were able to translate it into the day's measurements. And my son Stephen and his computer, he brought it up. And if their measurements are accurate, it is a huge, a massive wooden vessel. I don't know what part of America it's in, but if you're there, you'll be able to see this ark. Apparently, it's supposed to be the same size as the ark that Noah built. I'd love to see it, but I've no chance of going. But you know something? They mocked at the old preacher. Oh, there was a day when they laughed at their sin, laughed at their wickedness, They didn't care about the preacher when he told them to flee from the wrath to come. And they laughed at him and they jeered him and they mocked him, and they still got deeper and deeper into sin. But there came a time when the judgment came. Their laughter and their mocking came to a crying and a wailing. We're lost, lost, lost forevermore. And there all flesh on the earth perished. But Noah and his wife and family and all the animals were safe in the ark of God's so great salvation. Whenever I look at this land of Ulster today, I fear for it. Men and women, young people, have no time for God. Young men, young women, caught up in drink, caught up in drugs, caught up in the filth of this old world, and they find no hope, even though there's gospel missions and gospel meetings, even though gospel tracts are put through their door, put into their hand. They have no time for Jesus, no time for the preacher when he tells them to flee from the wrath to come. And I thought of that. I thought what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. There used to be a sister that sang in the Martyrs, Hilary Hazley. And she sang many times, it's almost time for the Lord to come. I hear the people say. I believe it's only a short time that Jesus comes and he judges this old world of sin. We are the only part of the United Kingdom that hasn't legalized sodomy. Filthy, vile, lewd, corrupt thing. Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with the fire of God. And the pressure's on today. Oh, you can't help who you fall in love with. It's not love, it's lust, it's filth, it's evil. We had the leader of the Irish Republic down the other Saturday in Belfast City Centre, a sodomite. And he said it's inevitable that it'll come to Northern Ireland. God forbid. Pray for our leaders that they will stick fast and say no. What a wicked day, what a wicked age it is. I was walking around Londonderry yesterday with the apprentice boys, and that's not what I want to tell you. There was brethren out there giving out loads and loads of gospel tracts. And you want to see how many gospel tracts were just threw into the ground. They looked at the title, rolled it up, threw it down. You know, as I saw those gospel tracts, I thought of that verse of scripture, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And dear one, in God's meeting tonight, there's going to be a coming day of judgment. And you must be in the ark of God's so great salvation. It's not to be found in a man, a church, a religious sect or denomination. It's not to be found in Dromore Free Presbyterian Church. But salvation is of the Lord. Let me take you back to Pilate's judgment hall. People say today, what did Jesus Christ ever do for me? Let me take you back to Pilate's judgment hall. And Pilate said, I find no fault in the man. But we'll release unto us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. They whipped the Savior's back until it was fleshless, that his backbones shone through the flesh. As they marched him up Golgotha's hill, they spat upon him. They buffeted him with their fists. They pulled the hairs off his lovely cheeks. There they nailed him on the cross between heaven and earth. And the word of God says that every bone in his body was wrenched out of joint. Oh, what pain, what agony Christ endured for a world of sinners lost. And as we look at the Calvary, we can say, Christ died for the ungodly. There in Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ bore away our sin. Not only did he bear away our sin, he bore away our hell, our wrath, our torment, our nakedness, our shame. Jesus paid it all. It's all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. Praise God, Jesus washed it white as snow. You might be in this meeting lost and undone. Let me tell you, there's a coming day of judgment when God is going to judge this world in sin. And I would urge upon you tonight, I would cry tonight, prepare to meet thy God tonight. You might be a young person. You might say, I've plenty of time ahead of me. You and I don't know what a day may bring forth. If God spares me tomorrow by the date, Tuesday by the day, I'll be 50 years saved. You know, I wasn't in a church like this. I was a young man at 19. Filthy mouth. And a vile mouth. Smoke, drank, gambled. A very wicked, evil person. Many's the time I waited the mum and dad was going in, went to bed before I went in because of the smell of the drink. I don't know what they would have done. But I was in Jimmy's house one day and I went in because I had no money for the pub. But I went in to kill an hour or two. Bit of a conversation. And you know, we talked about the weather, talked about work. It's hard to believe. There was no trouble in our land in those days. But Jimmy got an opportunity. And he opened up this book. He didn't force, he didn't ram anything down my throat. But he told me about Jesus that loved me and gave himself for me. And Lord broke me that night. And I remember no glasses in those days. And I was wiping the tears away. And I got home, just lived next door. And I went to walk round Seymour Hill where I lived. And I got in and knelt by the side of my bed. Got down on my knees, pleaded with God for mercy. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Hallelujah at Calvary. I get down on my knees, a rotten, filthy sinner deserving hell. The twinkling of an eye stood to my feet. A new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. All things became new. People say today, that's too simple. Listen, all the doing was done by my lovely Savior on the old rugged cross at Calvary. You cannot work your way to heaven. Salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. You know, dear one, tonight, for someone in this meeting tonight, could be the last gospel meeting you will ever be at. You and I don't know what's round the next corner. And I would urge you tonight, be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus called you, be in time. While the voice of Jesus listen, get in through the gate of God's so great salvation. God is going to judge this world in sin. And someday men and women are going to be laughing and playing about with sin, getting into the awful evil and wickedness of this world. And someday that trumpet sound is going to herald the Lord's return. This book calls it the great and terrible day of the Lord. Be a great day for the people of God. They'll go to be with Christ, which is very far better. But you see, those that died in their sin, they're going to face that lake of fire that burneth day and night forever and ever. What a tragedy when men and women go out into a lost eternity outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a cousin dying of cancer. No hope for him. But of a cousin and her husband, and they live up in Port Stewart. And they wrote to him several times about the gospel. The husband of that home went to see him. And they says, listen, you need to prepare to meet your God. You need to get saved tonight. You need to trust Christ before you die. He knew he was dying. And he mentioned the man's name. He says, I do not want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about the gospel. I don't want to hear about your Jesus. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And as far as I know, he did die. And as far as I know, he went out into a lost eternity, chasing a messenger away from the gospel. Perhaps, I don't know, you're in this meeting out of Christ. You might never be in another gospel service. And I'd urge you tonight to get gloriously, wonderfully saved. Look at chapter 6 and verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always drive a man. For someone in this meeting tonight, the spirit could be striving with you for the very last time. And if you reject God's offer of mercy, you'll go into God's eternity, lost forevermore. You think about that. Turn it over in your mind. Lost forevermore. With no chance of reprieve. Away, go 1,000 years, go 100,000 years in our time, into eternity, and you'll still be there throughout all the eons of eternity. Listen, dear one, those that are saved in the meeting can say, we're going home to glory soon, and see the city bright, and walk the golden streets of heaven, and bask in God's own light. But in this meeting, our hearts are sorrowful, but some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. That's why we're preaching to you tonight, that you will get born again by the Spirit of God. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own. And your personal Savior. There was a young man attended gospel meetings. The miracle that got him in. But week after week he came, he heard the gospel, he heard it faithfully preached. And he knew he needed to be saved and turn his eyes upon Jesus. But one night he went out to the meeting. He met up with a couple of his friends, and away they went, as the world says today, to have a good time. But there was a woman, an elderly Christian lady in that congregation. She bumped into these three men. But you know, with God's people, nothing happens with chance. And she gave the two men a gospel tract. But that fella had been attending the meeting. She says, God has burdened me to give you that gospel tract. And he snapped it off and rolled it in a ball, stuck it in his pocket, went on his way. And as the world would say, we had a great night of entertainment. A day or two later, he was at work. And someone, somehow, some way, had left the lift shaft open. He took one step back, fell down the lift shaft into his death. Sometime after the funeral was over, as the parents have to do sometimes, and even through his sons, in fact, certain out personal things that he had in his pocket. And he went into his son's pocket and he found a ball of paper rolled up, and he opened it up and he could see it was a gospel tract. The heading of that gospel tract was, "Your last chance." Do you know what that young fella did? He took his last chance and he rolled it up into a ball. And he stuck it in his pocket and went out and enjoyed the things of the world. And then he finally went out into a lost, Christless eternity, lost forevermore. You're in this meeting tonight and you have a chance to get saved. Maybe the Holy Spirit tonight is taking dealing with you. We'd love to see you saved. We'd love to see you bowing the knee at the foot of the old rugged cross, just like I did with my breath reeking of cigarette smoke. Didn't know much about the Bible. But Jimmy Owens told me, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." No matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter what crimes or sin you committed, and maybe you're a churchy, a religious, or a self-righteous person, let me tell you, we are all born sinners, and we need our sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb. While others go, you remain behind. Myself or someone can open up this book and show you God's simple plan of salvation. Young or old tonight, will you come to him? We are your servants for Jesus Christ.